Will you please turn to Matthew chapter 24? We read from verse 38 through verse 51. Matthew 24:38. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took all away, thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two shall be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two grinding at a mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for ye know not in what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be dug through into. Wherefore, ye also, be ye ready, for in that hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and prudent bondman, whom his Lord has set over his household, to give them food in season? Blessed is that bondman, whom his Lord on coming shall find doing thus. Verily I say unto you, that he will set him over all his substance. But if that evil bondman shall say in his heart, my Lord delays to come, and begin to beat his fellow bondman, and eat and drink with a drunkard, the Lord of that bondman shall come in a day when he does not expect it, and in an hour he knows not of, and shall cut him in two, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou dost gather us together before Thy table. Thou dost said, do this until I come. We do praise and thank Thee that Thou love us so much as to prepare us for Thy return. Lord, we do pray that as we continue in Thy presence, that Thou wilt speak to our hearts. Make us a people who are not only ready to meet Thee, but a people who will hasten Thy return. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. The Lord puts upon my heart a burden to share with your dear brothers and sisters on the coming of the Lord. I believe we all realize that we are living at the end of the end time. Everything that is happening in the world tells us that the days are numbered. Sometimes we wonder whether such situation can last any longer. We do feel that the end is before us. And in Luke chapter 21, it says, when people think of what is coming into this world, they are frightened to death. But at the same time, our Lord Jesus tells us, this should not be our situation. Because in the same chapter, it says, when these things are coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. To the world, the coming of the Lord is the day of judgment. But to us who are redeemed, it is the day of our redemption. But brothers and sisters, are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we looking forward to the day of His coming? Our Lord Jesus, in His Olivet Discourse, He tells us that He is coming as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 6, you will find the characteristics of the days of Noah. There are certain things that are mentioned there. Number one, it says mankind began to increase in number. And when mankind began to increase in number, what happened? If you look back into Genesis chapter 5, you will find that civilization also increases. But at the same time, you find sins also increases. The Bible says, God looked upon mankind and said, man has become flesh, and his spirit will not strive anymore with them. In other words, men become carnal, fleshly. Their hearts are occupied with the things material, physical. They forgot their spiritual need. And wickedness was great on the earth. Violence was everywhere. And more than that, you find the sons of God began to marry the daughters of men. Now, of course, there are different interpretations, but we feel that the right interpretation is the angels, they are called the sons of God. Because you'll find in the book of Job, which is the first book written, the sons of God is a name for the angels. So there you'll find the angels. The angels, by nature, do not marry or given to marriage. But somehow you'll find these angels did not keep their place. And it began to come to man and married with daughters of man. And the result was giants, half man, half angels. Out of the order that God has set in the world. And these are the symptoms you find in the days of Noah. Now, brothers and sisters, I think everybody will see how it fits with our days. In a sense, you find that it is being multiplied to the nth degree. Violence everywhere. Sins. Moral degradation. Spiritual declension. And yet at the same time you'll find spiritism grows everywhere. So in a very real sense, brothers and sisters, the Lord said, as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. But if you read Matthew 24, you find that our Lord Jesus, instead of emphasizing all these characteristics of the days of Noah, because these things are so evident, everybody could see it. But instead of emphasizing these things, the Lord shows us the very characteristic, the feature of the days of Noah. And that is, in the days of Noah, people are eating and drinking and marrying and giving to marriage. Now these are common day life. These are legitimate things. As a matter of fact, they are ordained by God. Because after God created man, He provided the food for man because He knew man had to eat to live. He provided water because man had to live by drinking. And also He ordained there shall be marriage because otherwise man cannot multiply. So in other words, you find these are God's ordained things, legitimate. But strangely, you find our Lord said, these seems to characterize the days of Noah. Why? Because when people began to make eating and drinking, marrying and given to marriage, the very purpose, meaning of our life, then something is terribly wrong. Look at the world today. How people are so completely occupied with eating and drinking, marrying and giving to marriage. In other words, people are so worldly minded, earthly bound, so occupied with physical things that they completely neglect their spiritual needs. Now that is the special feature of the days of Noah. And dear brothers and sisters, if you look at our days, how much more real this is. And yet, this should not be the case with God's people. The Lord said, when they are eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage, suddenly the flood came and took them all away. On the day when Noah entered into the ark, the flood came. But we are the sons of light. We are the sons of day. And we shouldn't be in darkness. In other words, judgment should not come upon us unaware. We should be ready for the Lord to come and to receive us. But we have to ask ourselves, is this the case? Are we today living daily? While we are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, going through our ordinary daily life, where is our heart? Are we totally occupied with the things external, physical, earthly, human, fleshly, self, and we neglect our spiritual need? We neglect pursuing the real meaning of life and preparing ourselves for the day of redemption. So I really feel that we need to be reminded and to be awakened again. You know, God is so gracious to us. Actually, September 11 is a wake-up call. God is reminding us that something is going to happen soon, and we need to be prepared. We need to understand what is the meaning of the coming of the Lord. You know, the word coming that is used in Matthew 24 is the word parousia. And parousia means presence. So the coming of the Lord is His presence. In a sense, He is absent today. Because after He was resurrected from the dead, you remember 40 days later, how He gathered His people on Mount Olive, and there He ascended. So in a sense, He is absent from us today. Now even though His Spirit is with us, so in one sense, He is always with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am always with you till the end of the age. But that is spiritually so. But in a physical sense, He is absent today. But thank God, He said He's coming. He will be present with us. But the word parousia, those who know Greek tells us, parousia, presence, does not refer to one time, one incident. It refers to a period of time, covers a series of events. That is the word parousia. Now, unfortunately, we find among God's people, the concept about the coming of the Lord is not accurate. Because in our thinking, His coming is one time, one event. The hymns that you sing about the coming of the Lord usually said, at the day of His coming, the trumpet sounds, the voice of the archangels, and our Lord will descend with angels and with his saints in glory upon Mount Olive. That is his coming. And we are waiting for that day. Dear brothers and sisters, it's a little bit too late. Why? Because his coming covers a period of time and a series of events. What we ordinarily think of his coming is towards the end of his coming, not the beginning of his coming. You remember when our Lord was taken up to heaven? In Acts chapter 1, the disciples were with him, and he said, wait until you are empowered, and then you go and be my witnesses. And then they saw our Lord Jesus begin to ascend. The Bible says he was taken up. As he was taken up, they saw him going up. Then suddenly a cloud came and took him. They couldn't see him anymore. But they were still looking upward. And two men in white appeared to them. And said, men of Galilee, why are you looking up? Because the one who has gone up, he will come back in like manner. In other words, the way that our Lord Jesus is going will be the way of his coming. His going is in two stages. The first stage is from Mount Olive to the cloud, visible. The second stage is from the cloud to the throne, invisible. Now we know that he reached the throne. Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And that is the proof that he had been anointed in heaven as Lord, as Christ. And then the ointment, the Holy Spirit that was anointed upon his head, began to flow down to the beard and even to the skirt of the garment. Furthermore, we know that he arrived at the throne. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 5, you find a replay of his ascension. A lamb, newly slain, standing before the throne, worthy to receive the scroll, to open the seals, and to execute the will of God to recover all things back to God, for he is worthy. So, brothers and sisters, we are told very clearly in the way that he was taken up, this will be the way he is coming down. So his presence covers the whole period from the throne to the cloud, invisible. He will come as a thief. Now, why is it the Bible uses coming, describes his coming as a thief? Because the thief usually come unaware. And he will steal away the best that you have before you realize it. And the coming of the Lord is like the coming of a thief. Invisible, suddenly, unaware, he has already come. And he has taken that which is precious to him. And then you find his coming is also described as a lightning. In Matthew 24, we are told that when he is coming, it is like a lightning that lights from the east to the west. In other words, everybody will see it. Open. That is, it's coming from the cloud to Mount Olive. Every eye shall see him. He shall come openly, publicly, and in glory. So, brothers and sisters, when we are thinking of the coming of the Lord, our thoughts should go back to the very beginning of his coming and not towards the end of his coming. We are told in 2 Peter that we should meditate on the prophetic words of God until the morning star rises in our heart. You know, our Lord's coming is like the coming of the sun. We are in the night, in the darkest of the night today. But the day is coming. The sun will arise. And the coming of the Lord is like the coming of the sun. Everybody will see him. But only those who are watching, who are waking, they could see the morning star. His coming is like a morning star. Can be seen only by those who are watching and waiting. So we are told that we need to watch until the morning star arises within us. It is not good enough to see the sun comes up. It is better if we can see the morning star. So, brothers and sisters, are we ready, prepared for his coming? He will come at any time, any moment. All the prophecies that precedes his coming have already been fulfilled. There are some prophecies yet to be fulfilled, but these are prophecies that pertain to his coming or after his coming. If you read the scripture very carefully, you will discover that all the prophecies concerning his coming, that is, before his coming, have all been fulfilled. So he can come any moment. Any moment, brothers and sisters. So Matthew chapter 24 says, then. Now the word then refers to the coming of the Lord. Because if you read it, you will find in the preceding verses is about the coming of the Lord is like the days of Noah. Then, just like Noah suddenly was called into the ark. And when Noah was called into the ark, the flood came. So, brothers and sisters, It is said then, two are in the field. One is taken, one is left. Two are grinding the mills. One is taken, one is left. And if you read Luke chapter 21, verse 34, it adds one more thing. Two are in the bed. One is taken, one is left. Now that's what's going to happen at the coming of the Lord. Or to put it in another way, when this thing should happen, the coming of the Lord has begun. So what we are looking for today, we are not looking for the appearance of the Antichrist. Now it is true, the Antichrist will come first, before our Lord Jesus will come on Mount Olive. That is true. But remember, that's towards the end. We are not waiting for the Antichrist. We are waiting for Christ. And if we are waiting for Christ, then we have to remember that one day suddenly throughout the whole world, some are taken. You know, the word take is the same word used upon our Lord Jesus when He was taken up to heaven. So it is not a, it does not have a bad connotation. In other words, those who are taken, they will be taken just like our Lord was taken up to the throne. And that will mark the beginning of Parousia. Two in bed. That is night. Two working in the field. That is daytime. Two grinding the mill. That is morning. Because the earth is round. So you find when He shall come, some are in the morning, some are at noon, some are at night. The two represents the number of plurality. In other words, if two or three agree, or two or three gather together, unto the name of the Lord, there will be the presence of Him. So He refers to the church. He refers to the church at the time of His coming. He refers to those who are living at the time of His coming. You know, throughout the ages, even in the first century, the saints were looking for His return. You know, sometimes people say, now they were wrong. Because the Lord could not come in the first century. But dear brothers and sisters, they are not wrong. Even in the first century, they are looking for the coming of the Lord. They are right. Because the Lord can come in the first century if the fullness of time is ripe. But unfortunately, God's people, the bride, was not ready. You know, during the second and third century, when the church was under persecution, their only hope was the coming of the Lord. They greeted one another when the Lord returned. That is their blessed hope. they were not wrong. They were right. Because their heart was looking for his return. And now, brothers and sisters, we are in the 21st century. How much nearer his coming must be. Everything indicates that his coming is imminent. And when he shall come, this will happen. One will be taken, one will be left. We are living at such a time. Brothers and sisters, it is the greatest privilege that a believer can look forward to. But it is also a very great responsibility. What if he should come and we are left? He will come like a thief. Suddenly he will steal away the treasure of his heart. You know, a thief will never blow a trumpet and say, I'm coming. A thief will never come and steal away your garbage. He seems to know exactly where your treasure is. And that's all he wants. So shall be the coming of our Lord Jesus. Outwardly you'll find the two. They are all working in the field. Not one was working and the other is leisuring without doing anything, lazy. Both are working. Both are grinding in the mills. They are doing the same thing. And both are sleeping. I often tell people, do not be afraid to sleep. Not because the Lord is coming, so you dare not go to sleep. While he comes, and you are sleeping, it doesn't matter. Even you are deeply asleep, you will be taken if you are ready. In other words, life will go on as usual. You know, some people, when they are thinking of the coming of the Lord, you know what they do? Many years ago, there is a group of people, because they say the Lord is coming, so they left, and they migrate to the wilderness in Canada, and just to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And there were people who say the Lord is coming, so they left their job, they sold their property, and they went to a mountain and waiting for the coming of the Lord, and the Lord didn't come. That's another way to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Life goes on as usual. If in the night comes, we have to sleep. If in the daytime, we have to work. Fulfill our responsibility, our duty. And yet, there is a difference. One is taken, and one is left. Why? Now, even though in this case, we are not told exactly why. It only tells us the fact. One is taken, one is left. But as you read on, you will find the Lord does show us why this should happen. Why is it one is taken and one is left? There must be a reason for it. So the Lord said, watch therefore. Lest the day should come upon you unaware. watch. So the difference is, one is watching, the other is not. The watching is not an outward thing. It's an inward attitude. So you can go to sleep and you are watching. You know, just like in the Song of Songs, you'll find the virgin was sleeping, but she could hear the voice of the beloved. It is an inward attitude. Brothers and sisters, are we watching? What are we watching? We are watching the terrorism comes. We are watching the world situation. Well, we should be watching. But what should we be watching? We should be watching for the Lord. Watch, lest He come suddenly. Watch for Him. And the word watch here, as you read on to the parables, you'll find it means to be ready. Be ready. Watching is more than an attitude. It is also an action. Be ready. Prepare yourself. Be ready for Him. You know His character. You know what He likes. And be ready to be like Him. To be transformed and conformed to His image. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Let the cross deal with you. Cut off your flesh, the things of this world, sin, and the work of the devil. Let all these things be dealt with. And let His life grow within you. So you are being transformed to be like Him. And that is the preparation. That is to be ready. To be ready means that as the servant who is entrusted by his Lord to take care of the household. And if he is faithful and prudent and is distributed food in season, when the Lord shall come, he will be rewarded with the whole household. But if this evil servant, in other words, the servant here is in singular number, the same person, he can be a faithful and prudent servant, or he can be a wicked servant, evil servant, the same person. And the evil servant say in his heart, the Lord delays. He will not be coming. So here he began to beat his fellow bondman. He began to eat and drink with the drunkard. And suddenly, at the time he is not aware, the Lord cometh. And he will be cut into two. And be treated as a hypocrite. And there will be gnashing of teeth. And in darkness. Brothers and sisters, we can be either. You can either be that evil, so wicked servant, because you think the Lord delays, He's not coming. And you just do whatever your flesh wants to do. Or you can say, well, the Lord, He said He's coming. And His promise is true. He can come any time. I must be prepared. I must be wise. I must be faithful. Whatever He has entrusted me, I have to be faithful. And if you're doing that, taken. And then you read on, chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Now from the parable of the 10 virgins, you can see why the 5 virgins are called wise, and the 5 other are called foolish. They are all virgins. They are all believers. Because the Bible never labeled an unbeliever as a virgin. Because an unbeliever is an adulterer or adulteress with the world. But those who are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, they are virgins. And as virgins, we are being engaged to one person, our Lord Jesus. And we are supposed to be chaste virgins, waiting for the time when the bridegroom will come to receive us. Some people think that the 5 foolish virgins are not Christians, but that is not true. Why? Because they all have lamps, torches, with oil there. Burning. In other words, they have the Holy Spirit in them, the indwelling Holy Spirit. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. In other words, if you are not saved, you do not know who the bridegroom is, and you will not go out to meet him. It is because of the delay, the time prolonged. Therefore, they all fell asleep. So strictly speaking, in strict interpretation, the 10 virgins refer to the saints who have died throughout the ages. From the first century down, they have been waiting, going out to meet the bridegroom, but the bridegroom delays. So they fell asleep. In other words, they died. But one day, they will hear the shout, the bridegroom cometh. They were all awake. And that's the difference. The wise, they have extra oil in the vessel. So they can just pour the oil to the torch and go out and meet the bridegroom. But the foolish one, they must have utensil too. But probably they feel gold and silver and other precious things to them. Not oil. But it is the extra oil that matters. Brothers and sisters, that extra oil is the fullness of the Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Indwells in us. We have the anointing with us. He is there teaching us in all things. He is there trying to transform us, conform us to the image of Christ. But brothers and sisters, not all believers have extra oil in the vessel. You have to pour the things that fill the vessel out first before you can fill it with oil. In other words, what is more precious to you? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. Rule over your life. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, brothers and sisters, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that term is active. It is an experience. But be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. It means continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. It becomes a state. It means to be ruled by the Holy Spirit throughout your life. And that's the extra oil. And if you have that extra oil, then you are able to enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Bible shows us in many different ways how should we be prepared for His coming. Are we ready? Ever ready and never ready. You know, if you think you are ready, most likely you are not. But if you realize you need to be ready constantly, you are not ready yet. Thank God. When He shall come, He knows our heart. God looks upon our hearts. And He chooses according to your heart condition. What is our heart condition today? When we were first saved, we were in our first love. We were willing to give up everything for the Lord. Nothing is too costly to us. When we were first in love with Him, how we love His Word. We love to pray. We love to witness for Him. We love to gather with the saints, pursuing the Lord. But where are we now? Are we ready? We need to repent and do the first work. Then, when the Lord shall suddenly come, to those who wait, it's not a surprise. We are ready for Him. You know, the Apostle Paul, he is always looking forward to the day of Christ. And his desire is that in the day of Christ, when he shall see Him, he will not be put to shame. That is the passion of the Apostle Paul. And not until before his martyrdom, he was sure. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming. May we be ready. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, how you love to receive your bride. We pray that the same love that thou dost love us will give us that love to see thee face to face. Do remind us day by day that you are coming to receive us. By thy grace, by the Holy Spirit, make us be ready at any moment. Lord, it is the cry of our heart.